One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Suppose a man wants to drink liquor. Suppose he wants to drink liquor. That's his business, but it'll kill him. In the end, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so it brings on what? Well, I was up at Temple when I was there many years ago. Doctor said, you see that man over there? And I said, yes, my. Look at that awful yellow color that he has. I mean, he said, you see, he's through. I just got through examining him. His liver, cirrhosis. I said, doctor, what does that mean? He said, liquor. The man's been a drunkard. Now then, it's too late to save his life. His liver fails to function, and he's got to die. What did he say? He didn't quote that scripture, but I could have quoted it. The wages of sin, the wages of liquor drinking is death. Go ahead. What about dope? The wages of sin is death. What will dope do to you? It'll ruin your body. It'll ruin your body. The dope addict dies before anybody else. Did you know that? They're the youngest death victims there are. They die before they get 35, usually. If they start in the teens or even in the 20s, most of the time, they're dead before they're 36 years old. Dope kills them earlier than anything else that I know of. All right? We're not going to stop there. The wages of sin is death. What about the other two things that I'm going to mention? Homosexuality and rock and roll. It ruins your mind. It's death to your mind. Your mind will never make it. It'll never make it. And that awful beat and rhythm that hammers down all the time. And, I've read some things the doctor put out. It's horrible. I mean, yet he told the truth about it. He told the truth about it. He talks about the depravity and the decay of our young people because of the wrong kind of music. I mean, this is the rock age, and I just cannot imagine us being where we are. And the thing has climbed up in our churches, gotten into revival campaigns, because that rock and roll ties in. Wherever you find, now you listen to me, you just find these things. Wherever you find rock and roll, you usually find dope, and you find immorality, and you find improper dress. I got a letter from a lady, a telephone call. She said, I went to a certain campaign or crusade last night and said I was embarrassed. It didn't look like God's people at all. The evangelist has lost his conviction. And he's not stood like he ought to stand. Oh, I'll tell you, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that's the bright side, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now then, I want you to go back to the Old Testament with me for two wonderful chapters and verses. Exodus 23 and verse 2. And I'm going to have to sign a verse for you to memorize and carry with you through your entire life. It'll be such a blessing to you. I said it'll be Exodus 23 and verse 2. But I'm going to read the first verse. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Don't tell a lie. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Don't you lie because somebody else does. Don't you stand up for him. All right, here's your verse. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You know, that's what gets a lot of young people. They say, well, brother, well, off the crowd does it. I know. But the crowd's wrong. Thou shalt not follow, notice, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in the cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. In other words, if you have to stand alone, just go ahead and stand. Now, I'll promise you this, and I'm going to give you an illustration. Did you know, years ago, in Dawson, Texas, did you know that when God put his hand on this poor outfit and said, I want you to preach, did you know that some of the boys laughed? And I mean, I forsook the boxcar. We'd go down to the boxcar, you know, on the track or siding, you know, and that's where we'd, you know, shoot some dice and all that kind of junk, you know, just waste time. And my mother's little old Buffalo nickel she'd give me, you know. But you know what? I've lived long enough to have those same people, some of them, to ask me to help them. See? And they respect me. Now, it's not me, it's what Jesus did for me. So, young people, you just get a real load of this. You're going to have to pay the price when you start out really living for the Lord. The world's not going to understand, but there's going to come a time when your friends are going to long for you to help them. And they'd like to have a conference with you some of these days. And some of my friends, my lifelong friends, I tell you, have asked me, they've written to me, I've been with them in revival campaigns, helped to win some of them to Christ, that you heard about. I think I've never heard so many responses as from the marble shooting sermon. I tell you, everywhere I've gone, people said, I'd like to shoot you some marbles. But I'll say this, it pays to be a Christian. It really does. Just think how dirty the old world is tonight. And so he said, don't run off after the crowd just because they got a big number. Just see what direction. Before I join up with the multitude, I want to see what direction they're going in. And I want to go in the right direction. Would you turn with me, please, to one more passage? No, I've got to give you this verse. I told you I want to give you a verse to memorize. It's in the 20th verse. Behold, or give me attention, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now then, let me ask you this, and we're right down to where we're living now. You reckon the Lord sends an angel before the little girl and the boy that runs? Did the Lord say, did you pray about it and said, Lord, I'm fixing to get out of here now. I'm going to hit a strange highway, and I want you to send your angel before me, and I want you to let the angel really prepare the way for me and bring me to the place which thou hast prepared for me. I want you to bring me to the right place. I don't believe he would, do you? You remember the preacher sometime years ago? He's dead now. But he said he was driving one day and said his guardian angel was sitting up on the hood of his car. And said he was driving 50, and said it seemed like he could see his angel sitting there, you know. And said he got up to 60, and said he just sitting right there riding with him. And said he got up to 70. When he got up to 80, he said he looked out, and his guardian angel was gone. And he said he looked around and saw the patrolman coming on his motorcycle, and said he's sitting on top of that motorcycle. Well, I don't know whether the Lord forsake me. I know he's been with me in some mighty foolish times. But do we have a right to expect the guardian angel to go before us? Do we really? I mean, do you really have? I mean, if you're walking in the way that's right, aren't you comforted in the fact that I believe the Lord's with me? He's going to go with me today and be with me today. He's going to protect me today. Oh, I tell you, Moses said, Lord, if you don't go up, I'm not going up myself now. I can't go where the Lord doesn't go. I want you to come back to another verse, verse 7. The latter part of that verse, I will not justify the wicked. I will not justify the wicked. I'm not gonna justify a man that lives in sin. And then verse 8, this is a great verse for the preacher. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Be careful, he said. Don't sell out. Daniel said, let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another. But I'll tell you what the writing is on the wall. One more verse, Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. Now we're coming up to the compromisers. This is a sad chapter, but this is a chapter of death also. This is a chapter of punishment. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" You didn't think I was preaching the Bible a while ago, did you? So we finally got around to the scripture, didn't we? They fell a-lusting. What did they lust after that? Lusted after meat. You'd say, was any of them undernourished? No, sir. Moving every day, marching every day. There wasn't a sick child. There wasn't a sick man. There wasn't anybody sick out of the millions of the people, but they fell a-lusting. Who fell a-lusting? The mixed multitude. I tell you, that's what gets us when we get all mixed up. We get the wrong kind in, you know, and they get mixed up together, see? That's where the trouble comes from. I don't ever have a mixed multitude working in enterprises. I'd rather have less workers. That mixed multitude's what gets us. I mean, there's one thing. We've got to be together. We've got to believe alike. And the leaders in the enterprises must live alike. We must live right every day. The mixed multitude fell a-lusting, and they begin to cry. What are you crying about? We want some flesh to eat. Meat! Give us some meat. Now, God had them on a manna diet. And there wasn't any meat falling down from heaven, but there was manna coming down every day. Now, evidently it had everything in it because everybody was well. Everybody was well. And so he said, our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. We don't have anything to eat. I've met in French fries since been here. No potato chips. And there's nothing at all. We don't have anything. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Yeah. Boy, the Lord kept them lubricated, didn't he? Huh? Yes, sir. There's one thing about the old system and everything else. It's got to be properly lubricated. Every motor, every engine, every body has got to be lubricated. Well, when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. I think about that little boy, you know, the other day. And he said, the mother was talking, said, "Son, do you suppose maybe they got dirt on the manna?" "Oh, no," said mother. "He let it fall on Scott tiles." This is the Scott tile age, isn't it? Well, when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. God, look out. Anger of the Lord was kindled. You know, it is possible to make God mad. Amen. You remember the message I preached on sinners in the hands of an angry God? I mean, God, every once in a while, he got a right to get mad. I think God stays mad all the time at the devil. And we ought to be mad. He told us, said, "Don't you ever let the sun go down on your wrath. You stay mad at the devil." Yeah, be ye angry and sin not, he said. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? I'm not their daddy. Have I begotten them, that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me." He getting loaded, didn't he? Bless his heart, he's so burdened. He said, "Lord, I just can't take it. I can't carry all this bunch of babies. I can't lay them up on my shoulder, and millions of them out here, and I haven't got any meat. You know, we haven't got any cows or cattle or nothing else, and here they come." He said, "I'm just not able to bear it. I just can't take it anymore. It's too heavy for me. And if thou thus deal with me, just go ahead and kill me." Look out. Find like Elijah under the juniper tree. If you're going to deal thus with me, I mean, if you can't do something about these people, just go ahead and kill me first. I pray thee out of hand. If I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I'll come down and talk with thee there, and I'll take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. You're going to have a big steak dinner. You're going to have flesh dinner, please, if that's what you want. For ye wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. They've been talking about how they enjoyed Egypt, you know. He said, therefore the Lord will give you flesh. Ye shall not eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. Looks to me like we're going to have 30 days in a row. 30 days in a row. Until, all right, until it come out at your nostrils. Now let's be reasonable about it. Let's just look at it and see what it says. Now, of course, some of y'all done turned me off. I know that. See, I mean, some of you just turned off your little radio because you're going to, and not anybody worse than adults. I mean, they just say, I just have to have my meat, you know, and all that. Well, be careful now. Don't try to overdo it. But listen, he said, I'm going to give you meat every day for 30 days. And he gave them the best meat there was, didn't he? What kind did he give them? Quail. Brother, I mean, that's it. Oh, listen, that's the tenderest and the cleanest meat there is. That little quail drinks dew off of the leaves for his water. Heavenly dew. I mean, he's full of dewdrops. That little fellow goes out and he eats grain. He eats seeds. And he's so clean. You never see him eating filth. That little quail, listen, God said, well, if I give you meat, I'm going to give you the best I got. But I'm going to prove to you that it'll be running out of your nose in 30 days. Now then, let's just see where that's coming from. What is that? Now, you'd say, well, you mean they were blowing quail meat out of their nose? No, that wasn't it. I mean, come on, be sensible about it. Just be reasonable about it. You know what happened? They ate meat just like they just wanted meat, and they ate meat every day, and they had a cold at the end of 30 days, and they're blowing the poison out their nose. That's right. There's nothing that'll clog your system like an over-grease diet. The wages of sin, still death. Can you see them? Mama, you got a handkerchief? Papa, let me borrow your handkerchief. Mother said, go blow your nose. See? See? All right. They got what they asked for, though, didn't they? Aren't we about like that today? Come on. I mean, aren't we just... See, we're the children of Israel going to the promised land. Here we go. I don't like what you feed me. I don't see why we... Yeah, that's all right. But I'll tell you one thing, and I'm so thankful. Our girls have not died. We've not had any poliomyelitis. We've not had any diphtheria. We've not had... And I say that to the glory of God. But I still believe that eating has something to do with it. And while you're here, precious little girls... Looking forward to having your own home someday. Learn what you can. And get it right out of the Bible. And God will bless you for it. Well, I've tried to show you that the wages of sin is death. Now then, why, Brother Olaf, would I want to take good care of my body? It's because it doesn't belong to me. It's somebody else's now. He bought it. If you loan me your car tonight and said, Brother Olaf, I'd like for you to use my lovely car for the next 30 days, what kind of care do you think I'd take of your car? I'd want to check that oil. I'd want to check those tires. Why? That car didn't belong to me. Somebody was just kind enough. And you know, everywhere we go, people are there at the airport and said, here, you take this car or this car and use it. You think just because it's not mine, I just drive the thing and don't pay any attention to taking care? No, sir. Now then, when God saved you, he bought you lock, stock, and barrel. And he said, now then, you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You sold out. You sold out. Now this property, these two eyes of mine, belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't have any eyes. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have any feet. He doesn't have a body. He said, I'll tell you what, let's do. Just let me live in you. And I'll look through your eyes, lift with your hands, walk with your feet, preach with your tongue, and I'll just live in you. And I'll stay there all the time. Now, what kind of a house do you suppose we ought to give him? He lives in physical. He doesn't live in mortar and brick and building. He lives in people. Now then, you see why I think we ought not to be taking dope and smoking cigarettes, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't like that. Because that's his body, and he wants his body to last until the work is done. Been thinking about an old song. I wonder, have I given my best to Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree, to think of his great sacrifice at Calvary? I know my Lord expects the best from me. The hours that I've wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ, so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I just wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me? What would be your answer tonight if an angel were to just flit in through the ceiling and say to each one of us, have you really given your best to Jesus? He sent me down here to ask you. I'm going to take the message back. Have you given your best to Jesus? Bow your heads while we pray. While every head is bowed, remember the wages of sin is death. All of us have been hired out. We're either working for the devil or we're working for the Savior. If you work for the Savior, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. All provisions and expenses paid. Think about that. All traveling expenses paid, every provision fulfilled. And heaven at the end of the trail, and the devil said, if you work for me, I'm going to blind you, and then I'm going to kill you when I get through with you. And then I'm going to take you home with me. And so it's time to just decide which one you want to work for. Oh, I've enjoyed the dividends of grace. I've enjoyed the sweet paychecks of God's providence as I've walked with him. And he's blessed and encouraged. I've seen many of my old friends, my schoolmates, die. A number of the names just popped into my mind as I said that. They're dead and gone. Will never live. Some of them died in the flames of a wrecked automobile as they hit bridge banisters and jumped off into eternity without hope. The wages of sin, still death.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, The High Price of Sin. If you would like to receive this message on a CD, we ask that you Call for offer number RO3254. And include $10 to help cover shipping and handling. And the title again is The High Price of Sin. We'd also like to have the call letters to this radio station and today's date. Our address is Eve Roloff, Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, 1-800-772-7507. With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir and Brother Roloff reading the Christmas story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth. Some of the most familiar songs are O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come All You Faithful, and many, many more. We accept credit cards by calling 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is An Old-Fashioned Christmas. Offer number 335-12, and include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507, and the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you could worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.